afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Wednesday, November 29th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
We have Wendy on the line from Apothecary Herbs, and I was thinking Wendy and trying to say Al at the same time, so it was Alfred. Anyway, we have a lot of interesting things going on today, which we will get to after the first break today. But first, let's go ahead and see what the gold medal prices did. We have, off the lows, but we're still looking at 870 to the downside at 1285. Silver was down almost 2%, down 32 cents at 1662. Platinum was down $9 at 943, and palladium was down 15 at 1017. So great buying opportunities there, folks. You have the USDX today at 93.23. Little pressure on crude oil, down 0.62 at 57.37. And of course, the paper markets are enjoying a good day. Let me bring that up real quick. Well, the Dow was up over triple digits, 103 points, 23,940, but the NASDAQ was down almost triple digits, down 88, 1.25% at 6,824. The S&P was down a point, 2,626. 10-year yield is up 0.04 at 2.38%, and the euro was 119, up 0.04. And I can't help but talk about Bitcoin. It did hit 11,000 today, and prior to, maybe about an hour ago, I looked to see what it was doing. It was 9,500, so it dropped. You have to have a good heart for this market. And now we're back to 98.10 at Bitcoin. So you talk about volatile. Well, you got to have a good heart, folks, to weather those big moves in a day. But 1-800-375-4188 for discount
and
gold and silver trading.
Not just a big heart, but perhaps a small brain.
I turned on Bloomberg early this morning. I don't know what time it was, but their one host, I kind of like him, Tom. He was talking to, I'm not quite sure because it was real early, and they were just laughing about Bitcoin, thinking that it's the most ridiculous thing that they've experienced, knowing that the only thing that's making the price come up is by more people coming in there. Yep. And basically they were just saying it's not going to happen, it's not going to last, and who knows where it goes, but they were beware. So let's go ahead and move on to Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs, as she joins us each and every Wednesday. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
You weren't here last time. We missed you. But today we're going to talk about the aging healthily protocols. We've touched on them before, but now we've got more specific protocols that health authorities are creating for elderly females. In October, I reported that the UN and the WHO are issuing these protocols to countries, encouraging them to adapt them to help their populations age and live healthier lives to reduce financial burdens associated with elder care. And there's nothing wrong with that concept of improving health, but, when your government and insurance agencies tend to get involved, the motivation and incentives can change. So this healthcare industry is also wrestling with the concept of patient noncompliance and what they should do about it. So they've got some ideas, and I'm going to share them with you. Now, the healthcare industry is aware noncompliant behavior. And, they're looking for ways to make sure patients, are taking their medicines and keep their appointments, follow their doctor's treatment plans without exception. And these new medications, you weren't here for the show last time, Al, but we talked about the new medications that are in development, and one has been approved by the FDA called Abilify for depression, bipolar disorder. And it's to monitor the patient and its compliance for drug treatment. So these are chips built into the tablets that when they hit your digestive juices, report to the doctor, yep, took his medicine. So these are food-grade ingestible components that have these digital pills confirming ingestion, and the medications are also soon to include video verification that the patient that it's prescribed to took it and the patient didn't give it to his dog. So the digital medications will soon flood the market, from heart medicines to antibiotics, to assure patient drug care compliance. Also in the near future, patients who refuse to comply will have to deal with negative responses from healthcare authorities, and also that could include your government entities. So we're going to see how this develops. But I want to touch on this new research at the University of Buffalo. They set out to help older women age healthfully. And if you see the terminology in all these protocols, it's helping elderly people age healthfully. So just as patients are required, parents are required in some states, they have to document the driving time they spend with their teenagers while they learn to qualify for a driver's permit. Well, so could the aging population need to prove compliance with the protocols the world governments are setting up. So according to the research that was published in the November 2017 Journal of the American Geriatric Society, simple housework may not be enough to live healthfully. They studied over 6,000 U.S. women between the ages of 63 and 99 who remained active, you know, 30 minutes of exercise a day. And that's, they said that lowered the risk of dying prematurely or becoming seriously ill. So this healthcare industry is becoming more disapproving of sedentary living after retirement. Here's their scale of activity risk reduction. 12% lower risk if you do light housework activity every day. That would be like folding clothes and doing the dishes, washing the windows, and so forth. 39% lower risk with moderate to vigorous activity daily. So which one do you think the government's going to go for?
They're going to go, well, they're going to try to get you to do more serious activity.
Yep.
But the thing about this, isn't this kind of, I mean, sooner or later, I don't care if you live to be 500 years old, you're going to become infirm.
Well, we're going to touch on that.
Because all they're doing is, I get that they can extend your life. I'm not against that. But still, if this is supposedly to escape the costs of aging, you're going to get those costs. It's just a question of whether you get them in your 60s or your 70s or your 90s.
It's all about the money, and we'll get to the whole reason this is being built. Okay, so women who retire and they don't have a lot of hobbies or social activities or physical activities, you know, take them out of the house, they're saying they have a higher risk of becoming ill, the research is saying. So no longer is your sweeping the floor and washing your windows enough to satisfy the reduction risk for healthfully living. So house chores account for about 55% of the activity for elderly women in the United States. But as we age, as you pointed out, we slow down, and house chores can take longer to complete, if not impossible. Here is what the research article answers. They said current public health guidelines require that physical activity be of at least moderate to higher intensity to secure your health benefits. That was a statement by Andrea LaCroix, professor in chief of epidemiology, University of California, San Diego. So this is where they're pointing to. Now, if you listen to the media, they're saying, hey, this healthfully living thing's great concept, giant gain, going to help with the mortality rates. But another point that the report makes here is that moderate activity and the health authorities expect us to engage in as we age. It, guess what, Al? It pertains to all subgroups of women, whether you're obese, non-obese, and those with high or even low functional ability. Okay? So even if you have a handicap, they're going to expect you to do something. And the study also, other studies are sending a message that, you know, both men and women, as they age, it's better to start this young so you can continue your vigorous activity as you age. So they're going to work this into, you know, protocols for the younger generation so they can continue to keep that level as they age. They're calling them living healthfully protocols. And I say, well, why hassle the retired folks, you know? Well, it's all about the money. lower mortality rates affect the underwriting for insurance, the budgets, the premium rates. So if government health care, if government's going to run health care, it's got to perform, it has to have stellar ratings, it has to remain in power and not go bankrupt, and they need to reduce the chronic illness and mortality rates to do that. But I think it's pie in the sky, to be honest.
I think they can put them off for a while. I mean, you can extend my life for 10 years if you have a good protocol. I don't doubt that can be done, and I'm not against that, that's for sure. But still, there's going to be a point in time when you just become elderly, you become fragile. I don't care how long it takes. You're going to get to that point. The money will have to be spent, and this protocol is just putting off the problem. From the government's perspective, and the ultimate objective here from the government's perspective is we've got to cut costs.
Right.
And the simple way to do that is maybe we don't need to exercise so much. Maybe we need to put a few more chemicals in the drinking water.
Well, it's euthanasia is what you'll probably eventually see. Well, you know, people will probably say, well, how are they going to enforce these written protocols, especially on the retired population? You know, because these are just words on paper. Right? How are they going to get people off the sofa? Well, you can forget about the honor system or the paper questionnaires. You can expect to be issued what is called the accelometer. This is a gadget that will be as inconspicuous as a topical patch or a wristwatch, which monitor their motion sensor devices, and they monitor the measurement and record your physical activity to document your compliance. This was part of the study. These accelerometers record 24/7. They measure your patterns of movement intensity to qualify for your moderate to vigorous column of activity. But in the study, they had this database of activities. So as older women normally engage in their everyday activity, they already know what you're doing based on the amount of level of exertion, so they can tell what movement or what activity you're doing, and they take the guesswork out of what it is a patient is doing, which is scary altogether.
What are they going to do if the accelerometer says you haven't been running around enough? Are they going to put you on a leash and drag you behind their car or something like that? What are they going to do?
I think there'll probably be some financial, you know, penalties of some kind or withdraw some.
Well, I agree with that. I understand that, because if this is all about the money, if they come up with an excuse to fine you.
Yeah. Well, they say by 2050, you're going to have 77 million people over the age of 65. And they know that women outlive men 2-1. So this is why they're kind of hitting the female group first with these protocols. Here is a quote from the study research professor Michael Lamont. He says, the findings could have profound implications for national public health guidelines for physical activity for older U.S. women, especially when considering the projected growth of this particular population over the next several decades. These findings are especially relevant to, quote, aging well in our society, and our findings are being considered by the U.S. Department of Health Services for their 2018 Physical Activity Guidelines Advisory Committee, end of quote. So they're taking this quite seriously, and I think they're going to work it into the Affordable Care Act, and it's going to be linked to your health care somehow.
You mean access to health care?
Yeah.
I mean, they've had in some places where obese people and people who smoke are not going to be covered by government health care. I think that's in other countries. I think maybe you've mentioned
UK.
That.
Yeah, that's in the UK.
Right.
So, yeah, it's snap to fall in line if you want to have health care coverage. And that's it's going to be a lot of hoops to jump through. It's going to be a lot
and
of...
And if you don't,
well,
then, when you do need the health care, you're not going to get it.
Right, I think they're going to start cutting it. So let's say you're a smoker in the UK and you refuse to quit smoking. Well, then you're not going to get surgery. You're going to be penalized in some way. Well, you know, and this is going to trickle on down to the kids, because a lot of studies have been published on how inactive children are and how overweight they are. Tufts University Health Science Campus did a research on it. They say 15% of school-age kids get recommended amounts of daily exercise. About 8% of public school children get 30 minutes a day. And they say female students in public school get fewer than 30 minutes of activity compared to males. And so it's really just a matter of time before these aging well, living healthfully protocols trickle on down to everyone that's going to be under government-run health care.
Well, I can understand this from a financial perspective. They are counting on you not to do enough exercise, and that will justify not paying to provide whatever medical care. You say you need medical care? Too bad. You didn't do enough laps last week. We can't provide any. Goodbye.
We have a system, really, Al Melody, we have a system that one snake bite can cost you six figures. One car accident can produce such massive health care debt that it can confiscate your home, your current and future finances. And basically, that's not health care. That's robbery. And so if people become motivated by fear to comply, that's not health care either. That's coercion. So now the UK government can't fiscally run universal social health care on $72 billion a year, and they take 20% of the British citizens' pay, and it's not enough. Switzerland takes 10% of their countrymen's income. Canada takes 15%, but America's much larger. We have more citizens to cover. And recent predictions for 2018 exchange rate for health care coverage through the Affordable Care Act would be about 20%. Per individual making $35,000 a year, and head of houses that are making $50,000 per year, it can be as much as 60% for a family of four. That's outrageous. You talk about $30,000 for basically catastrophic government care.
Yep.
That's outrageous. It's totally outrageous.
I agree.
So, you know.
And the system can't survive.
Well,
I mean, there's a problem here that's going to either we're going to have to get used to the idea that it's up to each of us to provide for our own health care, pay for it, or do without, or, you know, take care of yourself properly, or the government can't carry this.
Well, real quickly, if you want to escape the tax penalty with the Affordable Care Act and your tax return, Christian Healthcare Ministries offers a variety of plans. They're catastrophic as $40 a month. They have plans for families if you need a pregnancy program. They have all kinds of things. This is a Bible-based healthcare plan, and so if you're looking for an option, you could look into that. But, you know, we also have tremendous power already with options with caring for our health, well-being, elder care. If science is saying get off junk food, eat healthier, you change your DNA in 6 days, just imagine what you can accomplish cleansing toxins and poisons out of the body to refresh the body and using all these powerful medicinal herbs to strengthen your immune system. You know, so God has already given us the power to make non-emergency healthcare obsolete. Think about it.
Well, I understand that. A lot of people go to the hospital just because they've got no place else to go. I think it's like reality TV.
Well, like anything else in life, Al, it's all about the tools, you know. So you want to make sure you get some whole food, professional strength products that can really empower your system to achieve that balance and restoration. So,
and where can we get those products?
Absolutely. Apothecary Herbs. We have a new catalog on the way. We'll be here around the 8th, 9th of December. So 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Wendy. Enjoyed it. Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Give her a call. We're going to take a break. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. I'm here with my co-host, Melody Cederstrom, and what's next, Melody?
Ta-da! That's me. Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned in the beginning of the program that we just talk a little bit about Bitcoin, and again, it reached 11,000 middle of the trading day today, early this morning, and it dropped. When I looked at it, it was 9,500. It is now 9,700, 9,706.13. So I came back. It's only down 2.5% right now. So it's an incredible performance. And ISIS, once it got to 10, it I don't think it's going to hold it. We might pop back up a few times, because this just increases the appetite of those.
Yeah, but it was up to 11 is where
it was up to 11, yeah. So you might go back and see it go back up to, you know, the old high, but I don't think it's going to stay there. But, you know, when I was watching these people, I mean, I was shocked, because usually you're, and I mean, I don't have real strong positive opinions on mainstream media financial programs. I mainly turn them on to get the numbers. And when I turn, because the first thing I do in the morning is I turn on Bloomberg to get my numbers. I you know, if it's, whether it's 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, Bloomberg. I've been doing that for years and I can't stop. I'll be 99. Huh? What's the markets doing today? Or overseas markets. And they were talking about Bitcoin, and I was shocked that they were just laughing about it, because you just don't see that type of, opinions on anything, on any financial investment, coming from mainstream media, to the fact that they would just be chuckling about it and talking about
it. Ridiculing us.
They're
not just laughing. It's not just laughter as yay.
No, they were ridiculing it. Absolutely.
They're just ridiculing.
Absolutely. And I was surprised. I was a little, you know, but, you know, because it takes new people to come in to make that price go higher. And I can't imagine, but what this has created, Al, people are going back to day trading these cryptocurrencies, just like they did with those tech stocks in 2000. That's exactly what they're doing. They're day trading.
And when you say day trading, tell us what you mean by that.
Well,
you
day
mean they're buying and selling on a daily basis?
Yeah.
Hourly they're, basis, trying to buy on the low, sell on the high, buy on the next low.
They're in there trying to play the market. Individuals putting in $25,000, $35,000, $100,000, you know, trying to, and they're doing
they're
it with the crypto,
not
just Bitcoin,
day.
Not just Bitcoin. They're doing it with the cryptocurrencies. And how many of those cryptocurrencies are there?
Oh, over the last time I heard, I mean, it was like 2 or 3 months ago, I heard there was over 75. It wasn't 125, something like that. It was just a month ago, I heard there were over 700 of them.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a cryptocurrency. And then they do an ICO, initial coin offering, and everybody's, and they are averaging, I don't remember.
That's over something. 300%.
Yeah.
The average is like 300%.
I'm going to have to start my own cryptocurrency and have an initial coin offering and see if I can generate enough to retire.
Can we put Ruby's face on it?
Yeah, we can put Ruby's face on it. What the heck? We can have Ruby Bitcoins.
Ruby Bitcoin.
Yeah. Here's an article from Reuters, and it deals with Bitcoin. The headline is Bubble Trouble. Bitcoin tops $11,000 per coin after a $1,000 surge in 12 hours. Bitcoin zoomed past $11,000 to hit a record high for the sixth day in a row on Wednesday after gaining more than $1,000 in just 12 hours, stoking concerns that a rapidly swelling bubble could be set to burst in spectacular fashion. I mean, look, if this is going up $1,000 in 12 hours, it was just yesterday or the day before, we're talking about 10,000 seemed fantastic, and now they're up to 11,000, and they jumped $1,000 to break 11,000 in 12 hours. It can't continue, right? Everybody understands this, and the only way it can continue is probably if it speeds up until we're getting $1,000 in 6 hours. And then $1,000 increase in 3 hours, and 2 hours in 1 hour, and then 10 minutes. I mean, you can see the end is near on this thing, or that's the way at least it looks to me. It said after soaring more than 1,000% since the start of the year, Bitcoin rose as much as 15% on Wednesday, topped 10,000 for the first time in early Asia trading before surging above 11,000 less than 12 hours later to reach 11,395. That's dipped back, like Melody says, it's fallen back. But it's Bitcoin has a pattern. They drop dramatically and then they charge right back up. It's hard to stop this. Bitcoin's rapid ascent has led to countless warnings that has reached bubble territory. But the warnings have had little effect, with dozens of new crypto hedge funds entering the market and retail investors piling in. Okay? And as Melody said earlier in the program, what's driving this thing, it's not as if they've come up with a new invention. I mean, blockchain, yes, is the new invention, but once we got that, all right, we got blockchain, but what else have you done for us? And what we have is everyone's investors are piling in, and to say investors is probably wrong. It's speculators that are piling in, and once you get in, you can't exactly quit the Bitcoin addiction. On the one hand, I kind of wish that I had bought Bitcoin back in the day when you could buy it for a penny or a dollar a Bitcoin. I should have bought $5,000 or $10,000 back then, but I envy the people who did. But on the other hand, I don't envy them, because how can you quit? Once you get some Bitcoin and you sit there and you say, oh my gosh, it's going up $1,000 in just 12 hours. Are you going to sell? Do you dare to sell? Because what's it going to do tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that? I mean, we know this thing is going to end badly, but do you have the courage or the craziness or whatever to sell now? Or are you addicted to this and you can't get off the ride? And I think a lot of people are just caught in this. They're just addicted, and they're going to ride this thing until it blows up. But what I'm reminded of is fundamental investment principle is you buy low and you sell high. Now, what we have, here's a report that London-based Blockchain Info, biggest global Bitcoin wallet provider, told one of them anyway, told Reuters that it had added a record number of new users on Tuesday, with more than 100,000 customers signing up. These are new customers, new people, 100,000 people. So I got to have some Bitcoin. All right, that's what's holding the price up. It's not anything like market fundamentals. It is everybody's investing. It is a tulip mania. And what does that tell us? They've got 100,000 people signing up in one day for Bitcoin, and that's just one outfit. Everybody's piling in. If you're going to buy low and sell high, you are going to sell high is when everybody is piling in. Everybody says, I got to have more of this. That's the sell high moment. All right? And we are in it or near it. right? And according to the numbers, the evidence suggests that few of the users buying Bitcoin use it as a means of exchange. Nobody's actually using it as a coin. We are buying Bitcoin as a giant lottery. And a handful of people are going to make spectacular fortunes in Bitcoin, and a lot of people maybe make something, but most people are going to lose their assets when this thing goes down. What's happening right now, again, it has nothing to do with Bitcoin's functionality as a currency. This is pure mania that's taken hold, said Garrick Heilman, research fellow at the University of Cambridge's Judge Business School. Nevertheless, consensus view among mainstream investors is they do not deny that Bitcoin's price could still rise further. It's got all the shapings of your tulip bubble chart, and they're referring to the tulip mania that struck Holland back in 1600s, if I understand correctly. You talked about it yesterday a little bit. Price of tulips, a single tulip bulb, a tulip, you understand, plant in the ground, a bulb that would be selling for 2 or 3 times the annual income of a skilled tradesman. That would be equivalent to $100,000 today and maybe more. $150,000 for a tulip bulb. This is just the classic tulip mania, and they're comparing it to that. The fact that it's all shaping up like a tulip bubble chart, but that tells you nothing about where the price will go. Who says it can't reach $100,000? Who says it can't happen? I don't say it can't happen, but I say it can't be sustained. You name a price, I won't deny that Bitcoin can get there. But there is a point where it can't be sustained. And when that happens, if the only thing that's holding this up is people jumping in to buy more and more of these lottery tickets, and that's what Bitcoin really is, in my estimation, it's a lottery, right? Massive these lottery numbers. Go ahead and they should have little scratch the number off your Bitcoin and see if you're going to get fabulously wealthy or, you know, you're going to lose your assets. But this is really more like a lottery to me than it is a coin, a currency, whatever. They close off saying the fact that Bitcoin now provides exit ramps from national currencies that were becoming easier to use could exacerbate any future financial crisis. Here's the government saying this Bitcoin could cause a problem, all right, because it's letting people get their currency out of, they at least think they're going to get it out of harm's way. Put it into Bitcoin. We're going to get it out of dollars and put it in Bitcoin because that's really safe. I don't think it is. But they say it could exacerbate any future crisis. And I think the reason they're saying this is because the money that comes out of fiat dollars and goes into Bitcoin is going out of the money supply. It may be that that's what they're talking about, although they don't specify for sure. And they don't want the money supply diminished by people who's taking their currency out of the money supply, the fiat dollar. They're saying trading in for Bitcoin, and it diminishes. It potentially afflicts the value of the fiat dollar and so on. It makes it harder to regulate the economy if they can't really control the money supply. Coordinated regulatory action might therefore be necessary in order to stave off an economic calamity. Meaning, to my mind, I read that as there are people that are associated with government. The guy said this is not government. Again, he's a research fellow at Cambridge's Judge Business School. But still, I think he's maybe trying to sensitize the public. We're going to have to regulate Bitcoin so the government can get in on this to save all of us from economic calamity. They're going to be here to help us. And I don't know. Who is worse, Melody? Which one is more dangerous? Which one is more hazardous to our health? The government that's here to help us or the people that are advocating Bitcoin?
Oh, that's a toss-up. Let me get my...
Devil in the deep blue sea.
And I really don't want any I'm not ill wishing that, you know, Bitcoin collapses and, you know, everything goes down and so forth. We're just trying to help the listeners and those who, you know, are getting excited about Bitcoin. I mean, you could do very well. I mean, I was speaking to a gentleman yesterday. He's been very well. He understands what can happen.
Yep.
And he knows he can lose a lot, and he knows it's just not all pie in the sky, and he gets it, and that doesn't mean he can't get hurt, and you can have some very severe losses, and you know, but he has enough money to ride those losses, and he has enough money that if he loses it, you know, he's not going to be going to the poorhouse. And so we're just trying to, you know, help people understand that, you know, when something is just being push to the upside, just because, I mean, there's no fundamentals there. It just isn't. I mean, to some degree, people say, "Oh, it's regulated. You can, you know, there's always control of the price, and you can go into certain and buy software that prevents hacking and all this." Okay, you know, but if you believe that, but yet day after day we talk about, you have these huge businesses, corporations. My goodness, you had a credit company, Equifax.
$143 million people's. Well, that was Equifax. The information, their identity information on 143 million people was revealed to hackers by Equifax, intentionally.
But
that wasn't Bitcoin, but it's just evidence. Look. If it's digital, anybody who's really studied this.
If it isn't a regular hacker, it's a government.
Yeah.
You know, and don't think that your government can't get in there. Don't think
what
that you're being protected.
Again?
The only true privacy that you truly want, if you're searching for that privacy, is gold. That's it. That is the most private out of
them all.
This
is just comical. This really is. I mean, you were amazed that people on the mainstream media are laughing at Bitcoin. You know, we laugh at it to some extent. I mean, I don't know where it's going to go. It's like somebody says, who can say it can't go to $100,000 a coin? At the rate it's going, $1,000 in 12 hours. I mean, in order to continue to fuel this mania, it's going to have to do 1,000 points. $1,000 in 3 hours, and then 2 hours, and 1 hour, and 5 minutes, and it's going to be going up fast. And finally, as they point out, and I tried to illustrate with the article I was just reading from, the only thing that's driving this is more people coming in, right? It has no intrinsic value. This is just a function of more people are piling in, and this is like Powerball, where they have those spectacular lotteries where I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars you can make off that Powerball that runs through I don't know how many states at the same time. And it's just something extraordinary. People who don't believe in the lottery, they say, yes, the lottery is stupid, but there's so much money in Powerball, I got to go buy 10 tickets. Well, it fuels this, and more people buy in, and more people buy in, and the more they buy in, the more that will buy in, and before you know it, you have some spectacular numbers. But in the end, only one guy wins the Powerball. This Bitcoin is very similar. We're going to take a break, a couple of more commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival.
I just want to finish up the Bitcoin and saying before I go on to the special, what's happening is the people that are investing in Bitcoin and these other cryptocurrencies, they might be doing well, but what they're betting on is that it's always going to rebound and go back up. And that's where it becomes dangerous, because that's not what happens in a real world of investing and trading. And it's going to go back up, so I'm just going to hold it because it's going to go back up. That's the worst type of mindset that you can have when you're investing.
This is, you're betting that there will be another cadre of greater fools. It's foolish to buy this. Everybody kind of knows that, but it's going up. You can't deny that reality. But so I'm betting there. I bought it for $11,000. I'm betting there's somebody else even dumber who'll pay $15,000, and then I'll sell. That's my plan. But as they point out, the price of Bitcoin is not rising because of new technological developments, new profits, new markets or whatever per se. It's just being pushed up by more people piling in and buying these lottery tickets. And you have to recognize the reason it went up $1,000 in 12 hours is because a mass of people went in and bought it. That was the reason it went up. It will also be the reason it goes down. If the only thing supporting this is 100,000 people decided to buy in on the same day and that drove the price up higher, if that's the only reason it's going up, not because they've got a new Bitcoin mine someplace and they've just done, you know, the Bitcoin company has just found a new supply of Bitcoin. It's not that. It's just how many new customers can you bring in the door, and they're not even customers in the sense that they're buying anything. They're just betting. This is just new bettors coming in the door. And just as it can drive the public, the increase in public buying can push it up, and that's all that's pushing it up, it's also the only thing that's supporting it. And inevitably, sooner or later, the crowd is going to turn its back on Bitcoin. And when it does, it's going to drop 1,000 points, $1,000 in 12 hours, and it might drop 5,000 in 2 days. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going, if the only thing that's driving it up is people betting on it, the only thing that'll drive it down is when people finally say enough of that, this is crazy, and we have to be coming close to that point. $1,000 increase in 12 hours? Does that make sense to anyone? Can it be justified? It happened. I know it happened. And that's what most of you get. You know, you try to deal with this in what you think of as a logical idea, as a logical, you know, process, and logic leads you to a conclusion, it's time to get out. And on the other hand, people say, yeah, well, I get the logic, but look what's happening. This thing is defying logic. It's magical. It's mystical. It's a phenomena. then you got to get in and you got to hang on tight. I think it's going to work out badly, but who knows? You know, everybody's going to have to take their own chances and do their own thinking. Logically, it does not make sense. I'm unable to understand this as a long-term investment, and I don't see how. I mean, who knows? I'm going to make you bet that before the end of the year, we're going to see a massive correction in Bitcoin. Just in the next month, when it's going up $1,000 in 6 hours. This is close to the sell high moment. All right, what can it do after that? $1,000 in 5 hours, $1,000 in 1 hour, $5, $1,000 in 5 minutes. I mean, we are close to the peak of that, that sell high moment, and sensible people would, in my opinion, would begin to get out right now. Capture your profits, especially if you know, how greedy do you have to be?
And you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, and you know what the thing of it is, and I get the attraction, I really do, and then I want to move on to something else. I get the attraction, and you know, the stock market, we talked about it yesterday, you know, everybody knows that's at a high and ready to tank. Bonds, we know that's been in a bubble. Your gold and silver, that's the best investment out there to be buying now, because it's you know, it's the least sought after at this point in time, and that's when you want to get it.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Certainly, even if the markets tanked, the dollar tanked, and gold was trading at $3,000, and they're getting the process to reset currencies, yeah, you'd still be buying gold at $3,000. You know, that will be a low price. But where it is today is the time to buy your gold and silver. The true fundamentals of gold and silver, they don't change. They haven't changed. Profit is gravy on both of these investments. I see predictions all day long, not just from people in the gold and silver venue, but other investment writers and people who do sell paper. They're expecting $10,000 gold. Here you have Bitcoin at 10,000. We've already seen, you know, if Bitcoin can go to 10,000, I can't even imagine where gold might go. But
it's not just where they go, but where they stay.
It's not even where they stay, it's what they do. And you know, they always say the price of gold, if the price of gold isn't going up, it's the dollar that's going down. Yeah. And so we can the true fundamentals of gold. Yeah, we look at prices because that's what gets people excited. Greed. You know, prices are going higher. We want to put our money someplace and get a big return. You know, we're gamblers. We're a country of gamblers. We're not savers anymore. We don't want to keep what we have. We want to take what we have and increase it by three. When I lived in
Melody,
Arizona,
if you just let me win the Powerball one time, I promise to save a lot of my money. I'm not just going to spend it all. If I can just win Powerball one time, then I'll be a saver.
When I first went to Arizona, you know, it was always a joke. You know, everybody would say, well, I'm going to go to Vegas on the weekend and triple my money. Mm. And most of the time, people barely had enough money to get gas to come back. And that was when gas was a dollar or less. So, you know, that's what happens. It's a big old gambling casino. If you're a gambler, you'll love it. But if you're not a gambler, and if you want to protect what you have, then you buy gold and silver. And
if you believe in buy low and sell high, gold is low. Time to buy. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin is high. Probably time to sell. A sensible investment at this time, it would be, a lot of people wouldn't agree with this, but they would be, sell your Bitcoins now because they're high and they're probably not going to go. No one can say how high they can go, but when it's going up $1,000 in 12 hours, you got to be close to an extraordinary correction. That's the sell high moment. Take that money and put it into gold at the buy low money. Sell the Bitcoin, buy the gold.
And I'll tell you why the signs. I mean, you even have Goldman Sachs, the highest valuations since 1900. This bull market and the paper bull market, the stocks, the bonds,
yeah,
and credit has left a measure of average valuations the highest since 1900. 1900. How much longer do you think that's going to go on? Look at some of these headlines. I mean, I'm just, it's like, what grade school are we in? I mean, you go to these headlines.
Well, it's going to happen. Education is headed our way, Melody.
I mean,
while quality of education for some time may be lacking, but we are going to get a spectacular education in the foreseeable future.
But I mean, if you, and look at all these distractions we have, is my point. I mean, you know, sexual harassment is the number one thing. Today they let go Matt Lauer. Okay,
yep.
Multiple women accuses, you know. Okay, how many more are we going to have to, you know, hear? We don't hear any of the details and so forth. And but here's another one that bites the dust. And I'm sure there's more behind him. You have everything mainstream media. Nobody reports the news anymore. I mean, all it is sexual harassment, Trump's tweets, you know, how dog dirty can people get, and that's all you hear. It's like living in a high school, junior high. It's like,
yeah,
I feel
like
I'm being revisited, you know, back to my, you know, junior high school years. And so this is what tells me we're close, folks. These are all sad distractions because nobody else can really talk about what's really going on. You have the tax reform. You know, Lord knows I was reading an article today how the tax reform is going to kill Puerto Rico. And a lot of people probably really don't care much about Puerto Rico, but they only have like 58% of their power restored. And about half of their power has been restored.
What does that mean to their Bitcoin supply, Melody?
Well, I mean, that's, you know,
if the power's not on, where's your Bitcoin?
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, they're trying to attract corporations. I didn't realize that Puerto Rico was a huge manufacturer for the pharmaceutical companies. And they actually, the tax forms from what I was reading, you know, they said that would, a lot of these manufacturing companies would pull out of Puerto Rico. And so are we going to see them come to the United States because Puerto Rico can't, you know, get a break because they've been, you know, now hammered by the hurricane and they can't pay their debt? You don't hear anything about their debt anymore. You know, what the status is of what they owe. So,
well, you don't hear all that much about our debt either, Melody.
Well, that's what I mean. Things that really should be talked about aren't. Everything is sexual harassment. Right now, everything is Roy Moore. Everything. North Korea, for heaven's sakes, yesterday. And we've been told by President Trump, we're going to take care of it. What does that mean?
It means he better do it.
Means war.
That's
what
I
agree. It means.
I agree. It means some sort
means
of violence.
War.
But he allows it.
Yeah.
He allows a nuclear bomb to land in the United States from North Korea, he will be the most despised president this country's ever had.
Oh, he'll be more than that. But that is, and he said it. We'll take care of the problem. He's not asking China to do it. He's not asking anybody else to do it. He says, we, meaning him and the United States. So,
well, it might mean him and Japan, or it might mean him and Japan and South Korea.
That's not how it
hard
was.
Hard to say who all it means.
Well, that really wasn't how it was, you know, implied. But
I
yeah,
I, it might know. Mean a tweet. Trump, you can't be sure what he's saying sometimes.
So it baffles me. It doesn't. These are distractions, and they know the American people love it. You know, these distractions. So.
Anyway. An article here from Zero Hedge, and it's it says Malden, who is the writer here. Eight charts that show how insane the economy is today. I'm going to talk about just one of these, and I point out that the key gauge of central bankers for assessing the economy is the unemployment rate. Okay. An economy at full employment is one in which inflation is right around the corner. We are allegedly at full employment. We only have about 4% unemployment. That is allegedly full employment, and inflation should be right around the corner. But he says, in fact, we now have very low unemployment. But do we? He says it's a very low, 4%, very low unemployment, accompanied by stubbornly low inflation. Why is that? No one really knows. I think I know. I don't think it's such a big mystery. The employment rate is cooked. They say we have only 4% unemployment, but there are reports that there are 95 million Americans who are of working age who do not have jobs. But they're not being counted as part of the unemployment. They're not being counted as part of the unemployed. And they're saying, oh, this key gauge, gee, they're trying to follow the unemployment rate. They're reading the wrong books. The books are cooked. The reports are cooked. They're rigged. They're giving us false information. And the bankers, the central bankers, according to this report, are relying on the official unemployment rates. And they say, gee, this is such a mystery, because if we're at full employment, we should see inflation right now. If we have low unemployment accompanied by, but we have low unemployment accompanied by stubbornly low inflation. Why is that? No one really knows. I think I know. You know, I could be wrong, but I said we don't have the presumption, the initial assumption in this argument is we now have very low unemployment. John Williams at ShadowStats.com, when the government was claiming it had 7-8%, he was saying, no, it was 22-23%. This was a couple of years ago, but I think he's still maybe on target. 95 million Americans who are old enough to have jobs don't have jobs. The unemployment rate is much higher than we are supposing. And that being the case, we base any of our calculations on low unemployment rates, those calculations are going to turn out to be false. We're relying. How hard can this be? I mean, this surprises me, this article out of Zero Hedge says, gee, we don't know what's going on. I don't know. I don't see anything so mysterious about this. If it's true that 95 million aren't working who could have jobs, that's what's going on. Our unemployment rate is much higher than we have been led to believe, and you can factor that into any of your calculations about where the economy is going. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. We're out of time for today. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, be Melody and Todd the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams